Praise Yahweh, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Glad to have you aboard tonight on the Shepherd's Call. We're live and direct tonight on Truth Radio. We're also being published, and we are on Brother Steve Anderson's radio program up in Somerset, Kentucky. It's a shortwave station, 6900. On your upper sideband. We'll be on there at 11 o'clock tonight, so don't forget that exciting show there on the United Patriot Radio with Steve Anderson. We will be coming to you at 11 Eastern Standard Time. Tonight we're continuing in our series. This is the final series on the Reptilian Agenda, and we'll close it out tonight. This has been a very exciting week, and how appropriate that we started the Monday night show off with the Reptilian Agenda. And we were talking about the New World Order. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the New World Order has been strengthened with might. Everything, it seems, that has happened this week has happened for the New World Order. This has given them the pretense to move in with their military muscle to condition our minds. We've been in the conditioning process, ladies and gentlemen, since World War II by the New World Order. And now that we are now in the year 2001, we believe the time is off about 4 years, so this could actually be about 1999, as the prophecies goes here, and it could help us line up if we understand the correct time. Well, we believe that we are in the time of trouble, Jacob's trouble, which is mentioned in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 that we read to you, and the Reptilian Agenda is to rule the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, there is one reason that Satan has come down among us. That is to make war with the remnant of the seed of Jacob, and to rule the world, and to overcome the seed of Jacob, and to to crown his seed with power and great glory. Well, we know that this diabolical plot is working to perfection. Today we're going to continue the Reptilian Network plan, and we're going to start in a very, very timely scripture. How does the city set solitary that was full of people? How she has become a widow. She that was great among the nations and the princess among the provinces, has she become a tributary? She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her, and they are become her enemies. The book of Lamentations, ladies and gentlemen, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In a moment shall they die, and the people shall be troubled at midnight, and pass away, and all the mighty shall be taken away without hand. For Yahweh's eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings, and there is no darkness nor shadow of death, where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves, for he will not lay upon man more than right, that he should enter into judgment with God. He shall break in pieces mighty men without number, and set others in their stead. Therefore he knoweth their works, and he overturneth them in the night, so that they are destroyed. He striketh them as wicked men in the open sight of others. Oh, my, my. because they turned back from him and would not consider any of his ways, so that they caused the cry of the poor to come unto him, and he heareth the cry of the afflicted. When he giveth quietness, who can make trouble? And when he hides his face, who can behold him? When it is done against a nation or against a man only, that the hypocrite reign not, lest the people be ensnared. Job 34, verses 20 through 30. Ladies and gentlemen, a very timely scripture, we believe, tonight concerning the situation that we have tonight in America. Well, most of you are familiar with the prophecy of Nostradamus. We would like to read you an update that was sent through email by a friend of ours, and I'd like to read you a little bit of Nostradamus' prediction on World War III. We may be coming online here, ladies and gentlemen, and if it's true that the prophecy was given for 1999, and if you turn that upside down, the year 1999, it's 1666. Now, we know that the Roman governors, the Caesars, we know that they played with the time charts, and we also know that the Jews did. So time may not be as perfect as you might think. Remember, the Bible says in Daniel 7:25, they shall think to change times and laws. If you turn 1999 upside down, you get 1666. Nostradamus' prediction, in the year of the new century, that is the year that we live in now, and in the ninth month, from the sky will come a great king of terror. In the year of the new century, remember, the Jewish year or the Hebrew year starts in the festival of the month of September and goes as a new civil year. It is the new year according to the scriptures. And the tabernacle is the commemoration of the new civil year. In 9 months, from the sky will come a great king of terror, the ninth month. The sky will burn at 45 degrees, far approaches the great new city. In the city of York, there will be a great collapse, two twin brothers torn apart by chaos. While the fortress falls, the great leader will succumb. Third big war will begin when the big city is burning. Well, isn't it ironic that our president said on a national television that the war had begun, and in the Cathedral of Deliverance, where he spoke today in Washington, D.C., he said that the war had started with others, and we would choose it when we wanted to end it. Nostradamus continued and said, he said, this will be bigger than the previous two. 2001 is the first year of the new century, and this is the ninth month. New York is located on the 41st degree latitude. Well, this is some of the prophecies that has been fascinating people with Nostradamus for quite a while. Now, if we notice some of the mystique that is woven into some of these numbers that we could give you here, we're going to look at the flights that were hijacked from United and American Airlines, and they were numbered as follows: 11, 93, 175, and 77. Now, look at that. 11, 93, 175, and 77 are the flight numbers. 11 equals the date of the crash of the four-liners. 9 plus 3 equals 12, which was the following day. 1, 7 plus 5 equals 13, which was Thursday, the third day after. 7 plus 7 equals 14, which was today. Hopefully this is a coincidence and the terrorists can't add, but if this is correct, There will be other acts of, may it be other acts of terrorism every day for the next few days, or a grand event the last day. In the Bible it says, in the city of God there will be a great thunder. True brothers torn apart by chaos, while the fortress endures, the leader will succumb. The third big war will begin when the big city is burning. This is in Nostradamus. On the 11th day of the ninth month, that two birds would crash into two tall statues in the new city, and the end will come soon thereafter, according to Nostradamus. Well, don't know how much stock you put in prophetic utterance, but we thought that was very interesting. 9-1-1 disaster. The flights that were indicated were very significant here, we believe. 11, 93, 175, and 77. They equal the four succeeding days to follow after 9-1-1-0-1, and the mystery goes on. Well, let me read you some more prophecies that a friend of mine sent me up. This is coming from Scott Hoftus, and it's an email that has been shared with a list of members, and it starts like this. This is a word of Yahweh to America. So says Yahweh of the earth this day, the judgment that I have foretold through my servants, the prophets, is at the doorstep. The devastation, the mourning, the death, and the destruction is at hand. To the nations of the earth I say, the day of my fierce anger is upon you. Behold what I do. I will begin on the coast of your lands, the gateways to your nations, with cataclysmic events, the lack of which has yet to be witnessed by this generation. I am coming to the seats of power with a message of repentance the earth has never heard before. I will use these final days prior to my appearance to press out the wine from the grape, to gather the wheat from the earth and separate and burn off the tares with unquenchable fire. The beginning of the days of my final plea with mankind are at hand. The strivings with the powerful and mighty who have thought higher than themselves than they should have is here. Now, this was given on September the 3rd. This prophecy is noted and was given on the 3rd of September. Remember, the 11th of September is when the city of New York was hit. It goes on. To the city of New York, he addresses it right out of the mouth of this prophecy. I say, the madness of your city shall be revealed in a moment of time. The markets of self-adulation and self-exaltation are about to be shattered. I have sent messengers after messenger to warn you of these events, to call your people to repentance before I crush your markets with the fist of my mighty hand. And yet you go on as though there will be a day of recovery and restoration to the glory of your past. I tell you this day that it will be crashing, though in a moment of time. One day you will be at ease. The next people will be killing themselves and killing each other in the response to the rock falling on the tables of your money changers and turning them into powder. The cry will be deafening, but all that will be saved will be all the souls of those that fall on their knees and repent before the Holy One of Israel, Yahweh. The fire will burn up all that is temporal and of this earth, but that which is eternal will survive. Take heed, New York. I will crush that lady that you have exalted above me and drown her before your very eyes. I will have no other gods before me, and you shall not make a graven image and worship it. As God, my fury is greater than you can imagine, my righteousness and justice pure than you can fathom. You will encounter it when you meet the ones I send to dispense my judgments upon you. That continues part two. And this prophecy, given by this young man on the 3rd of September, made available by email to us, Scott Hoffetees. His name is spelled H-O-F-S-T-E-E. And he continues his prophecy. To the city of Washington, D.C., I say your might and power are about to be ripped away from you. Like home that is ripped off its foundation in a mighty wind. Your foundation is flawed. Your leaders are liars and thieves and lovers of power and recognition. Messages of judgment have been sent and not heeded. Now come with devastation and destruction. The principalities of darkness that have been kept in check will no longer be restrained and will begin to unveil the most subtle evils and darkness the world has ever known. Those of you who have not known me will not be able to resist it. It will make perfect sense to the carnal-minded fools that have stored up treasures here on earth and left their accounts in my kingdom empty and unattended to. The masses will flock to the disputations like moths to a flame, only to be burned and destroyed. To the president of this country, I say, you have fooled many with your unassuming charm and easygoing mannerisms, but I see your heart, and it is not toward my will. It is toward yourself and your legacy, not my kingdom. Your house is ordained for destruction unless you fall on your face before me and cry out as Abraham cried out in intercession for Sodom and Gomorrah. Your ideals are vanity. Your pride has ordained you for a fall, and I am coming to bring it unless you repent. Your place and position cannot be saved. Your great city cannot be spared, but your soul can be saved through by fire, so says the Holy One of Israel. To the leaders of the governments of this nation, I say, when the most of you read this, it will have already happened. The destruction and the demolition of your seats of power and authority will be gone, and you will know that all those crazy men and women whom I have sent to you were actually the sane ones. The ones whom you have indeed heard my voice and have carried the burden of Yahweh to you. You will look upon those words and others and know that my heart was toward you and that it wasn't willing that you would perish, that you and your pride and arrogance could not receive instruction from these messengers. They didn't look right. They didn't sound right. They didn't go through the proper channels. You will mourn for the day you scorn these that I have sent to you, and you will know that I have reached out to you through many times before. I brought my perfect justice and government to you and to your people, so says Yahweh of the Eternal. Now, this is the third part of the prophecy to the third city. To the city of Los Angeles, I say, your glamour and beauty are a ruse. I see right through the glitter and pomp of your appearance. You have housed the filth of the fornication of all generations within your walls and have turned your eyes to it as my daughters and sons have been ravaged by the purveyors of all the unimaginable filth of this world's nakedness. You call yourself the city of angels, but your messengers have been the messengers of your father the devil, the chief of the fallen angels. You have spread your whoredoms on every shore of this earth, and I am coming to pull up your skirt and make you a shame before the people of the earth. When I am done, the people of the earth will burn with a passion to see your destruction and a fervor to rid the earth of the plague that you have become to its people. You are doomed. I have spoken it, saith Yahweh of hosts. I call to those with ears to hear to flee the walls of this abominable place where there is yet time. For I will burn this place with unquenchable fire and sink it beneath the waters, so saith Yahweh of hosts. Now, the part of the prophecy was also to the cities of Seattle and San Francisco. I say unto you, Seattle and San Francisco, you are as Sodom and Gomorrah before me, twin cities of lust, greed, perversion, and sorcery. I am about to rain down fire and brimstone on you both in a way that has never been seen with human eyes. The abominations that have gone on behind the walls of your cities are the works of the most vile spirits the world has ever known, and yet you applaud these works with admiration and recognition. You will be left as ashes and as an act of mercy toward this world, for to follow your continued existence would be to allow a plague of unimaginable evil to continue unabated on the innocent of this earth. I have been long-suffering towards you. I have sent you messengers time and time again, and who have foretold your doom, and you have mocked and scoffed and killed these messengers. Now I tell you, the day that was foretold of you is here. The doom of your end is upon you. To those whom have ears to hear, I say, flee the walls of these places. I will guide you with my messengers. If you will not heed the word of Yahweh, if you do not, you will suffer the same fate that awaits those who have loved these cities and their abominations, so saith the great I Am, eternal Yahweh. Now, the final prophecy that this young man gave was to the people in general of America, and I quote, to the people of this nation called America, I say that you have thought that you were exempt from what is yet to come. You have seen these things in other places, but now they are coming to your shores. You don't have the leaders to guide you through these storms. You don't have the foundations necessary to bear the weight of the truth that is coming to try you. Your shepherds have preached to you lies in a false name, telling of an escape of the things that are yet to come to this world. They have spoken of an inheritance that is never fought for and never paid for, and never existed in my kingdom. Those who will rule and reign with me will be those who have overcome by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. They will be those that did not love their lives unto death. They will be those that have forsaken the delicacies of this world in order to gain the knowledge of me. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're down at the bottom there. We're going to kick it up real good when we come back. And we thought you might be interested in some of these prophecies that some of the common folks are giving, and not what's coming out of Washington, D.C. Stay tuned. We got more to come. Praise Yahweh. You're listening to the Shepherd Call, and this is Pastor Buddy. Well, welcome back to the Shepherd's Call, ladies and gentlemen. We've got one more email we'd like to have a bit of information to share with you. It's just a comment here, and it is very timely. We must not let those who want to take away our freedoms lead us into a war that will give them even more power over us. It looks like that the fervor of a nation has been turned against the Arab race. George Washington warned us against foreign entanglements and favoring one nation over another. But the American people have forgotten his warning. Those who forget the past or refuse to learn from it are doomed to repeat it. Let us join George Washington, the Copperheads of 1861, Charles Lindbergh, Elmer Barnes, and all the many others who have tried to keep us from fighting foreign wars that only kill and enslave the white race and empowering and enriching our real enemies, and we're going to talk about that just here in a moment. And let me give you this information. In the Committee of 300, which we've been reviewing the book all week by Dr. John Coleman, let me read you on page 65 a statement that he made about the Committee of 300. Now, this is the Club of Rome, and ladies and gentlemen, if you would get the book and read who is in the Club of Rome, you can see some of the elite sitting in the cathedral today, raising their hands in national pride to rally the troops to go fight the enemy. Now, we're going to tell you who they're going to, ladies and gentlemen, but the Bible says if you sow to the wind, you reap a whirlwind. The Committee of 300, which has established control networks, and that's why that we have called this episode here that we're on, the Reptilian Network, and its mechanisms far more binding than anything ever seen in this world. Chains and ropes are not needed to restrain us. Our fear is the only thing that can do that. Our fear is what they prey on. Our fear is what it is, and to come, it does the job more efficiently than any physical means of restraint. We have been brainwashed to give up our constitutional right to bear arms, to give up our Constitution itself. Remember, I read you last night, the agenda that is already passed, and we were looking into the genocide laws today that's on the books. Ladies and gentlemen, the Constitution could be suspended tomorrow, martial law declared, and if citizens evilly entreated, especially those that dare to speak out, to allow the United Nations to exercise control over our foreign policies and the IMF to take control of our physical and monetary policies, to permit the president to break United States law with haste and to invade a foreign country and kidnap its head of state. In short, we have been brainwashed to the extent where we as a nation will accept each and every lawless act carried out by our government almost without question. Now think about how timely this prophecy here was by Dr. John Coleman. Permit the president to break the laws of the United States with impunity and to invade a foreign country and kidnap its head of state. Well, you reckon that they have someone in mind to kidnap here, ladies and gentlemen, that he will be put on parade here very shortly? I think that will come up, and we'll give you the reason why just in a minute. I, for one, know that we will soon have to fight to reclaim our country from the committee of the New World Order, or we will lose it forever. That's the words of Dr. John Coleman. But when it comes right down to it, how many will actually take up arms? In 1776, only 3% of the populace took up arms against King George III. This time around, 3% will be woefully inadequate. We should not allow ourselves to be led down dead-end roads for what is that our mind controllers have planned for us by conforming us with such a complexity of issues that we simply succumb to long-range penetration and make no decisions at all on these vital issues. We shall be looking at the names of those who make up the Committee of 300, but before we do that, we should examine the massive interfacing of all the important institutions, companies, and banks under the Committee's control. We must mark them well because these are the people who are deciding who shall live and who shall be eliminated as useful leaders, where we will worship God, what we wear, and even what we shall eat, according to Brezhnev. We shall be under endless surveillance around the clock, 365 days a year. Now, that's out of the book of the hierarchy of the Committee of 300. Now, this was written 10 years ago, and it's still timely. Well, let me go back and tie some biblical truths do this and try to tie it together for our final episode of the Reptilian Network. I'm going to the 27th chapter of the book of Revelations. Follow me if you will. I'm starting in the 37th verse of the 27th chapter. And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made Jacob your Lord, and all his brethren or offspring have I given to him for his servants, and with corn and wine I will sustain him. And what shall I do now unto you, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Have you not but one blessing for me, my father? Bless me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Now, what we're talking about here is Esau sold his blessing to Jacob. Now, the 39th and the 40th verses is the prophetic utterance that most people never dare to touch. Tonight, we dare to go there. And Isaac, his father, answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwellings shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven from above. Now, this is what Isaac prophesied to Esau. Let me repeat this. And Isaac, his father, answered and said unto Esau, Behold, your dwellings shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven from above. Now, verse 40 is a frightening verse for some people that don't understand what's right and what's wrong in this country. We have been brainwashed to accept the Jews as God's chosen people, and that the Ishmaelites, the Arabs, are the evil breed on the earth. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is not so. Let me give you the 40th verse of prophecy, and then we will tie in the prophecy again of Nostradamus to the equation here and see what he had to say about a war between the Arabs and the West. He prophesied it that it would be a war in which that the Arabs would win. Let me repeat. He prophesied, Nostradamus prophesied, that the Arabs would break the yoke of dominion from off their neck. Now, these Arabs are a blessed nation. Islam is their religion. Now, the word Islam means one Yah, one Allah. What they're saying, one all Yah, is what they say. That's when you slow it down and pronounce the phonics correctly, one Yah is what they're saying. Notice verse 40. Ladies and gentlemen, this is very important. You may not want to hear this. If you're a Christian, you might want to stop your ears from hearing this verse of Scripture. And by the sword shall you live. What would prompt an Arab, if that's who piloted these planes, which is what they say, what would promote their ideals in their hearts to give their life freely for the cause of Islam and to bring down the capital city towers wherein dwelleth the money changers and the usury dealers of the earth? What would prompt them to do such a thing? These men of Islam are ready to give their life freely. Are you ready to die? It's a different thing, ladies and gentlemen. When Russia went into Afghanistan, where this bin Laden lives, they were sure that their technology would deliver the Afghanistans into their hands as putty. And as we found out in Vietnam, when the enemy is hard to come by, when you can't see this enemy, and when they hit and run, and when they use guerrilla tactics, a war that the United States and the French found out after 20 years in Vietnam, ladies and gentlemen, we might have just a little bit harder task than what our president is waving the war flag. By the sword shall you live. Listen to that now. Not die. You shall live by the sword, and shall serve your brother. That's Jacob, the Israelites. Now listen, we're not talking about Jews. We're talking about Israelites here. And it shall come to pass that when thou shalt have thy dominion, sound like you're going to lose anything, ladies and gentlemen? I'm reading out of the King James Bible. You Christians may turn this off, but you have to live with the truth here. You better not be so gung-ho to run and gun. You better listen to the prophetic utterance of Yahweh and some of the prophets that's prophesied what's coming. It won't turn out, ladies and gentlemen, like the leaders of the earth have dreamed it will. They will not eliminate their enemy, the Arab, that knows exactly what they're up to. The Arabs, known for hundreds of years that those Jews that sit in Palestine are imposters. They know that because they know they're not blood kin. They know that they're not Abraham's children. They are the Khazaric. They are not from Abraham. Now, notice this. The 10 tribes scattered abroad are Jacob's seed, which are descended from the Rachel side of the equation here, and the Leah side, not the Ishmael Hagar side. Here we go. When thou shalt have thy dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. This is a very serious prophecy. I bring it to your attention tonight only because the Bible is never wrong. Listen to what it says again. Let me repeat this. It bears repeating. Don't be so gung-ho to go after the Arabs. Isaac answered Esau and said unto him, Behold, your dwelling shall be with the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven from above. Remember, the Bible said that they shall dip their feet in the oil of Asher. Did you know that when Hagar was cast out into the desert, and she was moaning, and she was crying, and she only had a loaf of bread and a bottle of water from Abraham? She was forced out by Sarah, and the angel gave her a prophecy. It said, you shall become a great nation with riches, and you shall dip your foot in oil. Well, the Arabs tonight control all of the oil. And why do you think that they're trying to drum up a third world war? They want the oil, ladies and gentlemen. They want control. And we are talking about the money barons of the New World Order, which will mobilize all of the world's opinion. They're working on it night and day now. They have a leg up on the intelligence of America, and they're going after the oil. George Bush tried it in 93, but was turned back. And by the sword shall thou live. The sword of Allah is what they cry. They're ready to die. They die by the sword and they live by it. They think it's an honor to die. Ladies and gentlemen, they've got a cause for living, but they've got a greater cause for dying. If you don't have a cause for living, you don't want to go there because you will die there. Don't send your sons and daughters to this war that's coming. And shall serve thy brother, and it shall come to pass that when you shall have the dominion, you will break his yoke from off your neck. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Arabs will win this war that is fostered and promoted by the rich of the earth, the elite that sit in their usury towers and tax the people with usury. It is against the laws of Yahweh, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why that the stock exchange has been closed all week, because of the transmission troubles and the communication problems in the World Power Trade Center. And that's what it's all about, the trading of the commodities of the world. And oil is one of the items that they have never had in their possession. They've got the silver and gold, ladies and gentlemen. Now they're going after the oil. Now, when they go there, the Bible says the Arabs will break the dominion from off their neck. They have been a poor, persecuted people. They have been enslaved and ruled over by the powerful elite of the earth. But the Bible says, the sword shall you live by, you shall serve your brother until you break the yoke from off his neck. That's the neck of Esau, ladies and gentlemen. The Arab race will break the dominion, and the yoke shall be lifted from their neck. When this coalition goes hunting for the Arabs, they will meet their doom. I predict it, because here it is. In the 27th chapter of the book of Genesis, chapter 27, verse 38 through 40, the three scriptures versus the scriptures that no one dares to read. I've never heard any preacher read it in public before. You're hearing it tonight, perhaps for the first time, that the seed of Esau from the Ishmaelite side of Abraham. Ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh had a plan. The sword of Islam shall be the cleansing factor on the face of the earth. For in the last days they shall break the dominion and the yoke from off their neck. And Nostradamus predicted that there will be a war between the Jews and the Arabs. And the Arabs, this time, will win. Ladies and gentlemen, don't get too cocky and run off to Afghanistan or into Saudi Arabia and in the deserts of Iraq and Iran, and in southern Russia, and in Mongolia, where these Islamic factions, we're talking about the largest religious faction upon the earth. And they have something waiting for the coalition, the sword of Allah. And the Bible says they will break the yoke of dominion from off their neck. It's right here in the Bible if you'd like to read it. Tonight in the 27th chapter of the book of Genesis. Have you ever read it? I doubt it. What about the Arab opposition, and what about the cause that the Arabs are here? Yahweh had a plan when he split the seed of Abraham. Of course, he made one seed from Rachel, or from Sarah, which produced Rachel and Leah, which produced the 12 sons of Jacob, which had the covenants given to them, of course. But also, many times, we put the Arab in a light of the Ishmaelites when the Bible gives him blessing here. And the dukes of Esau, it talks about the dukes. And it talks about that they will break the yoke and they will have the dominion. So the sword of Allah is now being sharpened for the coalition that may rise up in the last days to go against Yahweh's blood. Mount Seir, the Arabs are descendants of Ishmael and Esau. Esau took a wife of the daughters of Ishmael. Genesis 28 and verse 9. There you go. Let me repeat that. You know what he said to Hagar? He said, for the seed of Ishmael, I will make you a mighty nation and will bless you and give you the oil that is in the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, three quarters of the oil lays beneath the sands of the Arab countries. What do you think the coalition is going there for? They're not going there because some fanatic has killed a few people. It happens every day. Wars have killed more people for causes for international jewelry, which sponsored and financed the war on both sides in World War I and World War II. That's all a matter of record, ladies and gentlemen. This is no exception. The money barons of the earth are calling the shots of the New World Order, and the reptilians are behind it all. But Yahweh said, the sword of Allah shall be upon you. The sword of Almighty Yah. That's what it means. One Yah. Look up the Arabic word for Allah. One God is the way that you would address it. One Yah is the way that they say it. Allah, Yah. That's how they pronounce it. And by the sword shall you live, and you shall serve your brother, and it shall come to pass that when thou shalt have the dominion, thou shalt break his yoke from off your neck. This is the prophecies of a prophet, ladies and gentlemen. Isaac was a prophet. We're talking about his own blood. He's talking about his seed shall break the yoke of international Canaanites and the reptilian race from off our neck. It will come at the expense of the blood of the Arabs, but they will gladly shed their blood in defense of their heritage. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, for no reason other than what it's for, that the sword shall be in the house of Ishmael and in the house of Esau. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. The Arabs are always referred to by the names applying to Esau. That's the Arabs. Deuteronomy 2, 4, and 6. God says he will lay the land of the Arabs waste, and he did, because that's all they have over there, ladies and gentlemen, is just a sand pit. But those rich oil barons sitting there as Arabs, do you think that they've been sitting around filing their fingernails when the nation of the Soviet Union disintegrated? Do you think that they didn't buy nuclear weapons? They have the money to do so, and if you've got the money, the weapons are there for you. They are still buying weapons from Russia. Russia will ally, in a sense, with giving them weapons, and they have the money to buy them. Now, the next, it may not be a plane, ladies and gentlemen. It may be a nuclear 20-ton megaton bomb setting somewhere in this nation to go off. The sword of Allah. And the Bible says here in the 40th verse again, by the sword shall you live, and thou shalt serve your brother until you break his yoke from off your neck, and then you shall have the dominion. So Yahweh has promised them a mighty nation. And here they are, ladies and gentlemen. You better rethink your position about the Arabs. They're not as evil as you might think. They know a lot more than you do. We're talking about the Ishmaelites. Here it is. He said he will lay the land of the Arabs waste, and it will become desolate. You don't have nothing but miles and miles of sand when you get involved in a war in the Middle East, ladies and gentlemen. When you go all the way in there, you're going into trouble because the Arab race is going to be there. Well, we see our time is gone here. Let me give you the numbers that you've got to call. Call me up. Let me tell you about Miracle, too. I don't have time to talk about it tonight. This is area code 423-626-2172. Call me up tonight and talk to me about the prophecy that I just gave you in the 27th chapter of the book of Genesis, verse 40. Call me up. We'll talk about it. Remember, Miracle 2. And here's the numbers, 877-289-7439, 888-281-7320, and 1-866-761-0438.
Join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.